We're still in the book of Romans. We've got a couple of things that we're going to do in a couple of moments. First of all, we're going to go to the book of Romans. But first of all, I have two people. I thought there was a third person here. I don't know if he ever showed up. He never did. Okay. He got caught up at work. Everybody's buying turkeys. He works at Safeway. And so he's still handling turkeys. You know, I know we all handle turkeys at one time or another, but he's handling
before you
real
introduce
turkeys.
Your first person, though, I want to say hi to my granddaughter. She made it all the way from
Phoenix
again and from college. And she has to fly out the day after Thanksgiving because she has to get back to school.
Yeah.
And so thank
but
you,
But she's
granddaughter.
Straight A's now.
But, you know, I'm going to thank God for my granddaughter. Every time she comes, I want to thank God for her safety because she's flying back and forth.
Yeah.
And also, we just heard yesterday she's getting straight A's so far.
In college.
So that's really good. So we're so proud of her. And I have to say, too, our grandson just got accepted at her college. He
Arizona
wants to be
State
with
University.
His sister. So he's going to be
so
going.
So they'll both be flying back and forth.
He's a senior this year, so he's graduating in June. And he said, I want to be with my sister, so I'm going to apply for her school. That's the only college I'm going to apply for. And he just got his letter, I think, last week or so. And so he'll be taking off, too. So
that's right.
Congratulations,
and
grandson.
Except for, I think, 1B. Right?
And
he got 1B.
And he helped me get in my business. I have a business, you guys.
She just launched a new
and
business.
And so I have a business. So anyway, he helped me. My grandson helped me to launch that business. And so now my husband's doing some stuff forward, too.
Right.
So anyway, so thank God, my second
we
business.
Have a lot to be thankful
yeah.
for.
Yeah, this is a night of being
Don't
thankful.
Don't you have a lot to be thankful for?
So we have
God
some other folks that want to thank God,
That's
too,
right.
right? So who's the first
So
one?
I want to bring up Jeannie.
Allen.
Jeannie Allen, where are you at? Oh, there she is, front and center. We're going to have her come. You heard from
now,
her
Now, she
husband.
Didn't know that she was going to do this
she
until tonight
until
10, when she
15,
came into the church.
20 minutes before service. But we asked her to come and share. You heard from Anthony, her husband, who shared powerful testimony. I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before. But we want to just have her come and share her part of the testimonies. You know, you always hear from the men, but, you know, the ladies got something to say. Am I right about it? Yeah, I'm right about it. Okay.
Now she looked so nice in her red.
She didn't know
goodness.
She was going to be sharing, but
I
she
know,
came
she
all
nice
dressed
though.
Up.
Yeah, she looks good.
All right.
Good.
So, Jeannie, tell us a little bit about what has happened to you all since you've been at this church, and what did God do in your life? You wanted to share a little bit, right?
First, an honor. I want to give honor to God.
Yes.
To my pastor and first lady
Thank
and congregation.
Thank you.
Wow. As you know, as I work at Macy's with Joyce, and she has been a blessing to me. We're walking partners and stuff like that, you know. Things that me and my husband had been through. Of course, I was in the world. He was in the world. It did a domino effect. I didn't know where I was going to go as far as, like, losing my apartment. It was either going to be out there or move to Louisiana where, you know, his family was. But you know what? I had Joyce to pray and everyone that was on my side praying for us. And I just thank the Lord for this church and all of you guys. Anyway,
okay.
Praise God.
Where's the Kleenex? Come on, bring me a box. Let's go. That's all right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me just keep that up here.
We
you probably should have one in the future. Just have a.
It was a battle
Thank
for
you.
Us. I got into the gambling with my husband. You know, I followed him, the drinking, and it just kept going and going and going until we had to move out of our place. We lost a couple of cars. And then You know, by the grace of God, it was somebody that I knew at my job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That said that she had a house. Mm-hmm. Was able to talk to her, and we got right on in.
Praise
so it
God.
Was nothing but God
yeah.
that helped us through all of this.
Yeah.
I haven't, it's been a little over 3 years yeah. now. And I thank him
praise
for
God.
Everything
Amen.
That he is doing for
praise
me in my
God.
Life. And I tell you, this world is just evil.
Yeah, it is evil.
And if you don't have the strength of God mm-hmm. on your side, you will fall right back into
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
he has been my strength. My husband has been my strength. Mm-hmm. And all of you that has been praying for me, so then it went from that to my mother. Mm. She moved out here a while back. And then we found out during COVID that we had to put her in the hospital after we had got married in 22. Everybody that was at the wedding got COVID. And it was, I'm sorry, there was a few of them that did not get COVID. Mm. But there was quite a few of them that did. My mother was the one that was hospitalized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And from that point on, we found out that she had congestive heart failure, AFib, COPD. She's on oxygen now for the duration. Just a couple of months, I'm just fast forwarding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had to deal with that. She's been in the hospital like twice because her blood pressure and her pulse would drop and stuff. So hospice moved in. So a couple of months ago, we thought we was gonna lose her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing but God
yeah.
that I had the church, I put her on the prayer list mm-hmm. and everything. They come in, took her off all this medication that she was on, and I think that's what got her down. She started slowly deteriorating a little bit, and on a Tuesday, I went in my mom's room, and I says, Mom, I want to pray with you. I held her hands, prayed with her, asked her for strength because she stopped eating. She could barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed with her. The hospice told me to take her off this medicine. She had like 10 medicines that they took her off of. I come over on Wednesday after praying with her, went in her room, and she threw the covers over her head. And I said, Mom, don't act like I didn't see you, right? And she threw them covers down, and she said, hey, baby girl, how you? I said, praise God.
Amen, praise
because
God.
Because it was nothing but that
yeah.
prayer that answered for me yeah. to
praise
give
God.
Her that strength.
Yeah.
And from this time forward, she made her birthday on Halloween because we
God.
Didn't think she was going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a blessing that
yeah.
my mom is thriving.
God.
So God,
praise God
answered prayers.
Give God the glory.
And I am so thankful
praise
for
God.
Having my mother here.
Praise
and
God.
And thank you all for hearing me out.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank
God.
You.
Come on, give God some praise for it in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Now, y'all been hearing me talk about something for the last few services, but I'm not talking about it tonight. I'm not talking about it. But Herman Perkins, are you here in the house? Where's Herman Perkins? Oh, you are here. Herman, you already got mic? Okay, sounds good. We're going to have Herman Perkins. Herman, how many years have you been here at PCC?
Use the microphone.
Go ahead and use that microphone, man. Huh? You've been here how many? 12, 10, 5, 3?
95, 30 years.
95 years? No.
No.
30 years. Come on, let's give it up.
Come on, praise
we
God.
We like those that's been here a long time like that. Faithful,
yeah.
faithful.
Yeah, stay yep. faithful. Well, I wanted to have Herman share because when he came in here, you know, he was a military officer, and, you know, so he was pretty cool, you know, and that kind of thing. And he's an investor and does a lot of other stuff. But, you know, he had some challenges in his own personal life that only God could deliver him from. So I just wanted to give him a moment to be able to share. I don't think very many of you have heard his testimony. Some of you have if you've been here for a long period of time. But I want to just encourage you tonight. We have a lot to be thankful for. Yeah. I say we have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
And we need to take the time to thank God even tonight. Amen? Go ahead, Herman.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank God and the pastoral team for allowing me to be here, share my testimony. What I'd like to do, I hope that this enlightens some of you if you're having challenges. God is good.
Yes, he is.
If he did it for me, where I came from, he'll do it for you. Trust me. It's something. I came from that. I overcame, well, God overcame that dark road of alcohol. That was me. I was really into the alcohol. I didn't matter what it was, beer, if it was wet, I would drink it. I didn't care. So, but the thing was, I was a married man, had kids, so I wanted to provide a good life for them. And I found that I couldn't do that because the first thing I would do when I get home from work, I would grab a beer, you know, because I can relax when I drink a beer. So I drink a beer, and when that was gone, I drink another one, you know, just because I wasn't full yet, you know. Then I would drink another one. Then I would drink another one. And it just got to the point where I didn't have any control of it. If I drank, no telling how long I would drink. Well, when it was gone, that's when I quit. Then, well, not all the time, because sometimes I go back to the store and get some more and just continue. But what it did to me was I allowed alcohol to be my strength. When I drank, I could do anything, any of the things that my inhibitions wouldn't let me do. I had a lot of fear. If I drank, I didn't have that fear anymore. I'd do anything. That was my courage, my strength. So I found that as long as I did that, I couldn't do anything. When I'd wake up the next day and not remember where my car was or where I had been or what I did, or just it was just a blank. So I was concerned about that. So I tried things. I didn't actually go, but I called Alcohol Anonymous and just didn't feel right. I didn't even want to go there. That didn't help me. But I was determined to do it myself. I figured I can do this. I can just stop. Couldn't, no matter what I did. That night, the next morning when I wake up with my head so bad, you know, a headache and can't see straight, mouth smelling like I don't know what. It was terrible. So I just made up my mind. I said, I prayed. I knew there was a God. I didn't really have a relationship, but I knew there was a God. So I prayed. I said, God, please, if you just get me past this, I will not drink again. And it got to the point where someone told me that if you have a hangover, drink a beer the next morning and it helps it to go away. So here I go again. The next day I'm walking around stumbling around again. Drink one, then I drink another one. Then before you know it, I'm right back in the same place. So I was really discouraged. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to beat it. So I just accepted it. I said, okay, you know what? I drink. I didn't call myself an alcoholic. I just said, I drink. That's it. I do. And I accepted it, but I kept, something was kept in the back of my mind, just kept telling me there's more. You can't even do the things you want to do when you drink that beer. I'd come home and I say, okay, well, I'm going to cut the grass when I get home. And if I drank the beer before I started to cut the grass didn't get cut, no matter what I wanted to do. So it got to the point where I just accepted it. So about that time, I got here to Pacific Christian Center. That was in 95, late 95. And as I usually did when football season came up, I would get a 12-pack and go home and watch the football games. Okay, but when I got here, I found a church home that I really enjoyed because the praise and worship was awesome. I come in here and, man, they'd have me crying every Sunday. I loved it. Because it gave me inspiration. I knew that there was something I could do. I just didn't know what it was. So anyway, I like I said, I would get my 12-pack and go home and watch the football games. So in coming to Pacific Christian Center, they always encouraged us to get involved, be a part of what's going on, you know, get to know your brothers and sisters. So I did that. You know, I got in and did a couple of things. I was an usher, and they had a prison ministry at the time, and I got into that. So what I would do is I wouldn't drink when I knew I was going to be around the people at church, because I don't want them to smell alcohol. Or, you know, I can't have that. Stand next to the pastor and he... So I got to the point where I would not drink. I could eat. I had that much control. I didn't drink when I was going to be around someone from the church. So in the fall of 96, after I had been here about a year, football season came. So I'm driving home from church, and I was on post, so I had to drive past the Shopette. That's the store to normal people. So I drive past the Shopette to go to my quarters. And I thought, oh, I got to get a 12-pack, you know, because football season, I'm going home and watch some football. And I thought, I said, wait a minute. When was the last time I had a beer? I couldn't remember. And it dawned on me, I've been delivered. I don't drink no more. I don't have to try. It's already done. I've been delivered. Thank you, God. And it was so inspiring that the word that we were receiving here, I really started to dig in. And I said, wait a minute, if this is working, what about the other stuff he's talking about? They're teaching us to tithe. And the pastor even said one day, you can try God. Now, I'd always heard coming up, you don't try God. You know, you get struck down. You don't do that. So pastor said, you can try God. Try me now in this and see if I will not open up the doors of heaven and pour out such blessings that you can't receive it all. And I said, well, hey, I can use that because I've been spending all my money on beer. I'm broke. So I started tithing. And at first it was hard. I didn't have a lot of money. So what I had, I gave. I made sure I gave it. It meant I had $2 to go through the rest of the week, and I got to eat lunch every day, so be it. And I started tithing, and I was serious. I didn't quit. I kept tithing. And things changed. He gave us some examples. I mean, things changed, supernatural things, things you don't expect. Right. I remember I had a bill. That's when cell phones were really getting popular. And remember, I'm sure some of you remember, you would get checks in the mail from the telephone company. And they say, if you switch to us, you can sign this $100 and keep it. Ha! They didn't need to tell me twice. Man, I was signing those checks left and right, switching so many times, no problem. Give me that $100, man. I can tithe on that. So anyway, that was... I remember I had a bill with one of the telephone companies, and it was a $600 bill. I don't know how. Well, I know it was supernatural, but somehow they told us that these supernatural things happened, cancellation of debt. I got a notice, the regular bill. I said, okay, you know, so I opened the bill. I just knew it was already $600. I don't need to look at this. I opened it up, and it said zero. I said, wait a minute. This stuff really works. So if it got me away from the alcohol, that was killing me, and I'm tired and things are changing, what if I listen to this other stuff that he's talking about? So I'm coming now. They open the doors, I'm in there. At first, I was just coming to the Sunday services. I didn't come to the Wednesday night Bible study. But then when I started having, I said, hey, I need to get in there and check out that Bible study too. And my life has changed tremendously. I have so much to be thankful for. That's just one testimony. I have so many testimonies, health-wise and relationship-wise, just so many things. Yeah. I have grandchildren now and great-grandchildren. Yeah. But anyway, I have these kids that look at me now and they don't know anything about that. That life I had when I was just out there, no control. Yeah. You ever, no, I hope you have it, but I'll say it this way. I have gotten so drunk, and this was in Germany, so I'm going down an Autobahn, flying.
Oh, no.
Just flying. Yeah. And I'm so inebriated that the road lines are one going this way and one going this way. So I'm trying to figure out, how am I supposed to drive? Which way am I supposed to go? How do I do this? So I figured out, just close one eye. Then you only got one road, you know? That's how I got home. But you know what? That was just God taking care of me. He gave me something simple that I could do, because I was so messed up at the time. I didn't know. I didn't have any idea. But it's been such a blessing. I have so many things to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to doing the prayer before we eat, because I want to give thanks for all these things. And I want my family to know I've been through those things. And I want them to know, when they have challenges, go to God. Yeah. Seek God. He has all the answers. Yeah. He will save you. He'll change your life.
Yeah.
It's just, it's awesome.
Come on, give God praise.
Praise God.
Wow. And you know, what's a blessing is that for 30 years, we've been able to watch this. Mm-hmm. And here, and this is what happens with people in this ministry. It's just such a blessing to be able to hear the progress, the growth, how people change and
change. We used to say we should take some before pictures and after pictures.
We used to do
pictures.
That, actually.
Yeah,
when you first come into the church, we take a picture of you, and then 1 year later, we take another picture of you and see how you changed.
Because it really is the word that's
really
giving
you
life.
It's really how God changes people's lives.
You know, so praise God.
Amen. Come on, give God some praise in Jesus' name.
And it's important to be a part of the right church. Because,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. And
you
are.
You can be part of a wrong church that's not teaching really the word and stuff, and that can have the other effects going on.
So, right.
Praise
well,
God.
Now, we are going to touch the book of Romans for just a second, but then we're going to be dismissed here in just a couple of minutes, so we're not going to take all night. All right? So go with me to Romans. I want to emphasize one verse, though. And Kathy, you can fill in where you need to go ahead and fill in concerning this. And that is Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8. It says, first, I thank my God. See, that's the first thing we should do. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Now, you can't thank him through Buddha. You can't thank him through Allah. You need to know there's a difference. You can't go into Hare Krishna or whatever, or New Age, and start humming at rocks or whatever. Talking about you serving God, because there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is one God.
And Jesus said, I am the way, not a way.
Yes, he's not the
way. The way.
The truth and the life. Right. So first of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, and I do. I thank God for all. You should thank God for everybody that touches your life. There are people that are affecting you. You don't even know they are. You need to thank God. This affected your life. You may not even know how it affected your life. Maybe you're not dealing with what he was dealing with. Maybe you never had a challenge with those things. But somehow, what you heard from Jeannie, what you heard from Herman tonight, what you heard from the team over there, our music team, it's affecting your life. And you want to stay around and let this happen. This Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, I thank my God. This is what Paul says. He couldn't go 8 verses without thanking God. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that's really what I want you all to be known for as you come to this church. Now, we're talking about all the places where we taking the podcast around the world, literally. There's a lot of podcasts, but God put us out there to do what we're called to do. But your faith in the Lord should be spoken of by others, like what we heard tonight. That testimony need to be repeated. You need to share that testimony yourself. Those of you watching my live stream, we need to be able to share the testimony. Where they have received what they have received. You can't just go anywhere and get all this. You got to go to where the Lord is leading you. There's many churches that are wonderful, but you need to thank God that you don't have to go to Atlanta or Chicago or, come on, talk to me, or Florida to be able to have a good church that you can receive. And let me just say this. Before you move, you need to pray and ask God if he's moving you from your church.
But And that's true. Amen. But also, this is a lifestyle ministry too. And so so it's really good, because if you have lifestyle issues, then this is a good church, because we're going to challenge you according to the Word of God to His standards.
Right.
It's not ours. It's really His standards. And it's sort of like His testimony. You want to do right when you start getting around the right people, the right church. You want to live right. You want to do right because your leaders are living right. They're doing right. And so we need that kind of, you know, those kind of influences in our lives. And a church, especially, I have to say, you know, thank God for lifestyle ministry here at Pacific Christian Center, where we're not afraid to hit those issues of drinking and or, you know, fornicating or going out. I mean, the things that are in the Bible, we tell the truth. Those things.
But we don't ever bring it up without showing you in the book.
Yeah, because
the
Word of
God. We will show you in the book what we're talking about.
Because the Word of God is like a sword. And so it's going to cut out things that shouldn't be in your lives. And because God wants you to enjoy life and have it more abundantly.
Right.
And so thank God. And we need to thank God.
It's not our fault, or if you go to another church that teaches the word like this, it's not their fault that you didn't hear that before. But you can't keep hiding from it. And so you sort of play bumper cars when you come to the church, okay? You know that? You bump into the word and you bounce off of that. you push the pedal again, you'll go, and you're going to bump into something else that's going to hit you. You know what I mean? Because this is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. There's no playing in this. It's serious stuff if you're hearing from the Word of God in a serious way. Now, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse number 6. Philippians 4 and 6. Okay? Now, because Thanksgiving, okay, say this with me. Say, prayer
is a sandwich.
Have you ever made a sandwich? It's two pieces of bread and something's in the middle. Now, you can have tuna fish, you can have bologna, you can have just a cheese sandwich, nothing but cheese, okay? But prayer is a sandwich. I ain't even gonna say sandwich. It's a sandwich, okay? Prayer is a sandwich, okay? It is a, and I don't know where they come up with sandwich. You sound like you eating sand. But anyhow, prayer is a sandwich, okay? So what you always should do with your prayer is to sandwich it with thanksgiving. You start that prayer out with thanksgiving, and you end that prayer with thanksgiving. And after you make your request, the rest of the prayers about that are thanksgiving prayers. You only need to order the pizza one time. You better not call that place up 12 times to order pizza.
In Psalms 95:2, it says this way, and I think I mentioned this before. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. So we come before God, we shouldn't come with problems first.
Right.
We should come with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
To thank the Lord. And you say, well, wait a minute, I got
even
all these problems.
Even coming into His courts with praise and thanksgiving.
But why am I got all these problems. When I just pray, I just start my prayer with, you know, God, I have this problem. No, it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So we should start our prayers out with, Lord, thank you that I can even pray to you. And it's exciting when you know God hears you when you pray, too.
The Spirit of the Lord just said to me, most of what we call prayer is actually murmuring. You ain't praying. You're murmuring against God. And do you know what happened to the children of Israel that murmured against God? Woo, in a circles until they died. God was just waiting for them to die. He wasn't just going to kill them. He just let them walk around till they died. He got tired of walking and just fell over. And see, this is why a lot of us, we wasted our time. We're sitting there. Unless you start, that's why I say prayer, and God just dropped that in my heart tonight. I've never taught this before, that prayer is a sandwich. He just dropped that in my heart while she was speaking. Prayer is a sandwich. You got to start it out with thanksgiving.
Right.
Put your meat, your bologna, whatever your bologna is. Y'all got that? Your salami. It's cheese and macaroni.
You'll never forget this.
Whatever you got, you're putting in that sandwich.
When you're making a sandwich, you'll never forget this.
Right. You ain't gonna never look at a sandwich again the same. But prayer is a sandwich, but you usually got your bologna, right?
Yep.
What's your bologna?
Yep, that's right.
All this old bologna you're talking. Lord, help me. I'm dying. Lord, you know, I need. Yeah, I know. Throw your bologna in between the praise. Throw your bologna in between the praise.
Yep, that's right.
Praise God first, give him the bologna, and then give him some more praise. Never just throw the bologna at God.
That's right.
I'm going to bring me some bologna up in here. I'm going to start throwing it at y'all. As soon as you give me that ugly look that you give me sometime, I'm throwing some bologna right at you. You better catch it and eat it. That's anointed bologna.
But you know, the Bible is really clear that we should come to him
with thanksgiving. Now look
and
at that. Look at that.
You know this now. You have knowledge.
Now let's go to this Philippians. That's good scripture, by the way. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. See, you wouldn't have anxiety if you got rid of having baloney. If you live with just baloney, you're going to have a dead life. One thing, you're going to get a lot of nitrates in your... No, I'm just kidding. But you probably going to have some problems. Do you know what baloney is? Never mind. Anyhow, how they make baloney? Do you know what's in baloney? Who knows what's in... Be anxious for nothing. Don't get too excited about nothing. Don't let nothing worry you. I could take you to Matthew 6, don't have time. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about nothing. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to put on. That's already covered for believers with God. You never should have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. So you don't have to worry about your Nordstrom bill. Well, pay it, but you don't have to worry about it. What you're going to eat, you don't have to worry about that. God will get you something to eat. And what you're going to drink, so that you're going to stay alive if you eat, especially if you drink. I'm not talking about drinking like what Herman's talking about, guzzling. I'm talking about drinking water. Okay? So you never have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to put on. God will always clothe you. We got clothes sitting in that hallway over there. There's no need for people that need some clothes with their children. We're focusing on children. We want to clothe them because God will take care of that. And you need to know that. You will never starve. Not when you're serving the Lord. You will never. And let me just say this. God will protect you. He'll keep you. Jeannie talked about her rent situation. They had to move out their house. God will provide for you and take care of your household. He knows you need a place to stay. He don't want you to be homeless. Now, if you become that, maybe there's something that you did to get there, or maybe you're going through something for a purpose. And so, but you know, but a lot of times we open the door for the curse. And I've been telling you,
sometimes
what's part
we
of the
do.
Curse.
Everything is not a curse, but sometimes we do open the door for things to, you know, to not go well for us. If we're not doing it according to the word of God, then, you know, it's not guaranteed it's going to go well for you.
And if you don't.
So God wants us to live, for us to live according to the word of God. Some things is just demons, is demonic. You know, is it a spiritual attack? Is an attack on you.
Right.
You're doing everything right, but there's a spiritual attack on you.
Right.
So it could be that. It could be a door that you open.
Sometimes
but then
the enemy will
demonic.
Attack you when he sees that you're getting to close to a victory too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because that the Bible
right.
says that. What's that scripture? That's a good scripture.
I don't know what you're thinking about.
With persecution.
Okay, yeah. Mark chapter 10, verse number, I can't remember the verse, but Mark chapter 10, it talks about, we don't have time to go there.
No, I'm not going there.
I'm going to be delivering that anyhow. Mark chapter 10, there has never been, I'm paraphrasing, one of you believers that has lost mother, father, houses, land,
left
blah,
mother,
blah,
father,
blah,
yeah.
And who will not in this life receive mother, father, lands, blah, 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 all the things you lost
with
persecution.
Right.
So the Lord's going to give it back to you because, see, some of you left some relatives to serve God because they're a little wacky, and you're going to meet them again for Thanksgiving tomorrow. Just make sure you put a turkey bone in their mouth so they'll shut up. And so you can have a good afternoon. Okay.
So some things is, if you know that, God, I'm doing this, you know, then maybe it's just persecution. And so when we get persecuted, then we say, okay, there must be a breakthrough coming.
Because see, what you want to do is make sure you're not doing something stupid. Because the Bible says, listen to this, it says in Proverbs, don't have time to go there either. The Bible says, the curse does not, like a bird, land or a light, cause less. So you can't be dealing with all that mess unless there's a cause. And most of the cause, the reason why there's a cause is because of you. You're the cause that be. So you got to check to make sure you're not causing the enemy to have an open door, because the curse does not alight. It doesn't land on anybody's house or themselves causeless. It's a violation of the laws of God. You cannot see the curse coming to you unless you are doing something to open the door for that curse. That's why I talked about, I'll say the word one time tonight, alcohol. It brings a curse on your house.
Well, there's a scripture that says it will close a man with rags.
You'll end up in rags.
That means you will start losing things. You will start going
to debt. Because you're supposed to have, that you're not going to need food, water, or clothes. So if you've been clothed in rags, something's wrong. That's just an indication. You can't afford nothing. There's a curse that has a light, but it doesn't come causeless without a cause. There is a cause. So we need to find out why that cause be. Because of this. Because of that. Shut the cause down. Now, I ain't living like this. I ain't living under no curse. And sometimes you got relatives that's cursed, and you bring them in your house, or you bring some old nasty mess on your television, or you watch some old nasty movies, and you bring in a curse in there, you bring in that old stupid alcohol in there, all that old stupid stuff, or some stupid, you got a girlfriend, 15 of them, or whatever, and it's causing the cause. That's the cause. And then you wonder why. Well, I'm sick again. Well, maybe you got an open door.
Or you just don't have peace. You know, just don't.
I know, I go deep, you go.
You don't have peace.
She's Kathy Light. She'll lighten it for us.
No, I don't know how that's really.
No,
light.
I know. You don't
Have you ever had it? How many of you lived where you didn't have peace? You couldn't sleep. You couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
true.
Deep.
Staring
you know?
At the ceiling all night.
Yeah. So
trying
that's
to figure
not,
out what you're going to do.
That's not good.
And it's not always just about money. I'm staring at the ceiling because I ain't got no money. No, it's staring at the ceiling because you ain't got no peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read this and go.
Yep.
We got to go cook a turkey. All right, look at what it says. Let's put this in the King James. I'm going to read it in King James. We'll come back to the New King James if you want to. But it says, be careful. We saw, be anxious for nothing. I said no thing. That's what that word is. It's no and thing. So no thing should make you anxious. That's your bills, your money, your health, your friends. Nobody should make you anxious. But in everything. How many things? There it's everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who?
God.
Now, you're going to make your request made known unto God, but you, with thanksgiving, came first. That's the first piece of bread on the sandwich. Okay? So you do it with thanksgiving. You make that request made known unto God. So you got the bologna. You put the bologna on top of the bread. Now, you're about to put a piece of bread on top of that bologna.
Yeah.
You might put a piece of cheese there, a little sticky. Anyhow, you got a sticky situation going on. Okay, so then it says, and the peace of God. See, you got that bologna rolling with the praise, with the sandwich there, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Because some of this stuff can drive you nuts.
Well, there's the peace of God.
You need the peace of God.
See, it's right there.
You need the peace of God that passes all understanding, where people look at you and they can't figure it out. They're cross-eyed looking at you, because how in the world are you still happy when you got all that going on?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Because you should have supernatural help, even through the death of loved ones. Where the peace of God comes up, of course you're hurt. I lost my mother and my father. I lost my brother. I mean, of course you're hurt. But God should soothe that peace. He should bring that peace to you that passes all understanding. It's not a peace that the world can give. They can't give it. And it shall keep your hearts, keep your hearts, keep your hearts, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And we need to be able to keep our soulish realm together. Yeah. Look at the next part of this. And this is how you help yourself to do that. Finally, I'll teach you something else he's saying. Mm-hmm. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things that are of a good report, if there be any excellence or virtue, mm-hmm. if there be any praise, there's the other piece of bread.
Right.
Think on these things. Mm-hmm. See, we're not even supposed to think on things that's, and I like to say, to make it hard for us, make sure that it has to qualify on all areas at the same time. Don't say, well, this one is honest, and that one over there, that's just, and the other one is pure. No, let's make sure we get them all, mm-hmm. just to keep stupid stuff out of us. Mm-hmm. Just check yourself. Is this pure? Is this honest? Is this a good report? Mm-hmm. Should I be involved with this? Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that when we do that, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we need to not keep our mind in the gutter. You can't watch them nasty movies and keep your mind on God.
No, you can't.
Mm-mm. You can't be around there cussing all the time and keeping your mind on God. You can't be half drinking, you know, or half drunk and be out of your mind. Like he was saying, he couldn't even figure out which line he was supposed to follow, so he closed an eye. I mean, yeah, that'll help you until you hit something and kill yourself. Thank God for his grace and mercy over your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's mercy. Okay, it says... last scripture on this. Come on, roll it one more time. Okay. Those things which you have both learned. See, some things you come here to learn. Mm-hmm. I like to say it this way. Some things are taught and some things are caught. You need to come to the church to catch a lifestyle. Now, we are called to be examples to the flock. The pastor is the only one that's called in that way, because that's why he's always there, because you're supposed to be able to always watch them go through all kinds of hell and anything else and just watch how they handle it. But see, we want to act like we're experts already, and we don't need nobody to give us an example. It's like going and buying something for Christmas that's so complicated and complex, but you throw away the instructions. You don't want to look at the picture. You don't even want to read it. God put us here to be able to have you not only learn, but also receive and heard and seen in me. Paul said, there's some things you're going to see in me.
Yep.
There's some things I caught from Dr. Price. The reason why I opened my wife's door is because I watched my pastor, Apostle Price. I watched him open Dr. Betty's door. I said, man, this show looks better when she's not sitting there struggling. We was on a hill just the other day. I'm almost done here. We were on a hill just the other day with our car, and the door was so heavy, I could barely open it up for her. And I said, but she's supposed to be in the car, trying to get out of the door. And I'm walking off. I'm gone, you know. That's how most men do. They just get, it's like, where's she at? She's still in there trying to wrestle to get out of the car. And you just walking off, but you're just a gentleman, right? No, you're not. You need to be able to do the things that need. You learn some things, up some things. Now, I'm not perfect.
Let me give you.
But we can be able to learn some things,
one's
hear some
perfect.
Things,
not
receive some
we're
things.
We're not perfect. You
and
guys
we'll have
are
the peace
perfect,
of God with so us.
God used imperfect people to be an example. So here it is in 1 Peter 5. I want to give you a scripture of what you just said, because some people's like, so you're supposed to be an example. Well, it's in the Bible.
No, not to you, so if you don't want me to be.
We're hearers and doers of the word. Say, yeah. I'm a hearer. And a doer. So we are not to come to church just to hear.
Right.
That's where we mess up. We should really come to church to get our orders of how we should live, what we should do.
James chapter 1.
So it says James, 1 Peter 5, just put it up there. 1 Peter 5, and we're going to close with this, or close, I guess, with this. Anyway, it says, not for dishonest gain. This is for a shepherd.
What verse?
This is verse 5.
Okay.
I mean, chapter 5, verse, let me see. I'm trying to do this by faith. 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God.
Or feed the flock of God.
Or feed the flock of God.
Which we're doing
and,
that now.
Yeah, and then if you go down, is that the same verse? Verse number 3. Nor being lord over those entrusted to you. So we know that this congregation of people has been entrusted with us.
And we're not trying to lord over them.
Yeah, and this is all we're trying to get to. But being an example to the flock.
Right.
So we are called to be an example to the flock. And we're trying to do the best we can. We're not, and that's the thing. We're trying to do the best we can, knowing that we're not perfect people. But we're striving to be a good example.
Right.
So he's talking about drinking, drinking, drinking. We don't drink at home.
Nope.
Okay, I can't remember last time I had a drink. I mean, it's been so many years, of 50-something years.
Yeah, when I got kicked out of school at 15 years old, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we try to be that example at our home, and it's just us now. You know, all the kids are gone now.
We could drink all day long. Nobody would know.
You wouldn't know, but God knows. See, and so we try to, what we say to you, see, I'm like this. If I'm asking you to do something, I'm going to do it, okay? I won't even give you a book to read if I haven't read it. If I'm asking, say, you know, bring it to the ladies. Hey, ladies, we're going to read this. I've read it first. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a pamphlet. I don't care if it's just whatever information. I'm going to read it first before I give it to you. So I just believe that we have to be that example because the Bible tells us to, and so we try to do it in imperfect bodies, imperfect people. You know, but we're trying to strive to be that example to the flock. So people like the testimonies you heard, they can get delivered because the pastor is not in the back room drinking. You know, and we've had those kind of experiences growing up. And so so it's important.
Now, okay? Let me just say this, okay? If I believe if you cannot submit to your pastor, how in the world are you going to submit to God who you ain't never seen? Now I'm sitting here in living colors in front of your face, and you can't listen to me. How in the world? And that's why it's tough to hear when God wants to speak to you, because you can't see him, and he does that for a reason. He could have you see him if he wanted to. He could have had this system to where you saw him all day long, and there would be a place like Buddha has, you know, or like they have over in Saudi Arabia or whatever, where you go into Mecca and worship and all this stuff. God could have had you see. He wants you to believe him even though you can't see. But then he put pastors here that have to live with your funky butts. Did I wake you up? I gotta live with you. The pastor has lived here. The evangelist, he comes in, preaches, he's gone. Ask Jesse Duplantis. He's gone. Got that $58 million jet, he is gone. His wife pastors that church most of the time. He ain't there. So it's not a negative, because God gives me the anointing to do it. But if you don't want to, I'm not going to lord over you. I'm not going to beat you
in
the head.
It's like one of our congregational members is in the hospital. Jesse Duplantis ain't called that person.
Sure, yeah.
That's why people need pastors. They need a pastor. They need someone that's going to care
for
them. I
needed a pastor.
It's in the Bible, though.
And I was a pastor.
Yeah. So you need someone that's going to care for you. You need people that's going to take care of you, and that's what the Bible says. So I encourage you to read that chapter number 5, start from the first verse, because it's the job of a pastor of what they need to do with the flock. But it's God's flock. You guys belong to the Lord.
You sure
and so
do.
One day we have to give an account to you. You don't belong to us.
Thank God.
God just entrusted, that's what he said, entrusted you guys to us.
Right.
Those of you that are members of this church.
And if
you're not a member of this church, then you're not in our basket, like you said.
My thing is this. I'm not begging you to please submit yourself to me.
No,
it's just more responsibility.
Yeah.
So if you don't want that, it's okay. It's okay. If you're to the point where you feel like you can pastor yourself, I'll say it this way. Good luck. Okay. Because that's not how this works. I knew I needed a pastor.
Everybody needs a pastor. It's in the Bible.
So I went and found my pastor
it's
after
in the
praying.
Bible.
God showed me who was supposed to be my pastor.
It's in the Bible. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't in the Bible.
Right.